So I just thought I would do a very short teaching on Christmas. The Lord has laid something on my heart, actually, from the beginning of study, specifically for this evening, a special message for us. And so it's not very long, but, you know, we look forward to Christmas every year to celebrate our Savior. I'm going to start in Isaiah 9, chapter 6. Don't worry about Bibles. I'm not going to be long. So, oh, wait a minute. I'm on the wrong thing. So Isaiah 9:6, it's probably a verse that a lot of us are familiar with. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So this is the one that we as believers celebrate every Christmas. He's wonderful, you know, when you think about wonderful things in your life and the blessings that they are, Jesus should be top of that list. And why? Because he's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He came. He knew before time began that sin was going to happen. And he and the Father and the Holy Spirit put this plan into action to send him to this earth. He set aside his glory, his throne, to come to earth to redeem sinners like us. And that's wonderful. He's our counselor. He knows what we go through. He's acquainted with our sorrows and our griefs. He knows what we go through, and he can understand it because he's been a man and he's gone through the same things. His family rejected him. His own countrymen rejected him. Those in his neighborhood, you know. So he knows how to deal with our sorrows and griefs. He's a counselor. He's Mighty God. Pastor Fred spoke this weekend on the power of God. And so I'm not going to go into detail on that. He is powerful. You know, he can raise the dead. He can heal the sick. He's Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. His kingdom will never end. And he has gone to prepare a place for us. That's eternal. So he's Everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. He's come to give us peace, and not peace as the world gives. You know, that's temporary. It doesn't last. But his peace is different. It's just a settling. Not that our circumstances are all okay. Not that things don't go wrong. He tells us, he promises us, we're going to go through tribulations and trials. Yet he never leaves us or forsakes us. He guides us through those. He's with us. We may not always know his presence during them, but he's with us during them. And that's where we have our peace. And it is beyond understanding. There are times where people will say, how can you have peace in this situation? You know, it's him. It's not me. I'm not the reason for this peace. It's because of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So this is who we celebrate at Christmas. But now I want to look at another scripture and see how the world responded when he came to this earth. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, and just read a few verses that talk about his birth. It says in verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus," and this is God's plan to get Jesus where he needed to be born. And in the Old Testament, it prophesies that he would be born in Bethlehem. Well, now, the woman carrying him was not from Bethlehem, but she needed to be in Bethlehem for his birth. And so this is God's plan to get them there for his miraculous birth. So a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered to his own city. Just so happens that Joseph, Mary's betrothed husband was from Bethlehem. What a coincidence, right? That's what the world would say, but we know that that is a God thing. That he lined up this particular couple so that they would end up where the Savior of the world needed to be born. So Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And we know that it was also prophesied that the Messiah would be from the line of David. And so here we go. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And I'm going to stop there. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, came into the world. But there was no room for him in the inn. People were looking for a Messiah, but when he came, they didn't have room for him in their lives. They were busy. Do we get busy at times and not make room in our lives for Jesus? How many times have we said, there's no room in the inn right now? You know, I've got to bake 5 different kinds of cookies tomorrow. There's no room in the inn for you today. No quiet time today. Now I got to get on the road. You know, it's an hour and a half ride. Shame on me if I do that. You know, if I don't make room for Jesus in my day. I got laundry. I got dinner to make. I've got shopping to do. I've got to get ready for Christmas and wrap my Christmas presents. No room for you, Jesus. We need to be careful. We celebrate his birth, but do we make room for him in our lives and our hearts at Christmas time? It's just a simple message, but it's one we need to hear. We send out a Christmas letter every year, and I usually start it with a verse, and that is the verse Luke 2:7 that I chose for this year because there was no room for them in the inn. And then I felt the Lord gave me this paragraph. It says, we celebrate this baby every year at Christmas. He is Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, Savior. Prophets foretold of him. A young virgin gave birth to him. Angels proclaimed him. Shepherds made haste to find him. Wise men gave gifts to him. A king wanted to kill him. Innkeepers made no room for him. How about you? How do you respond to him? All he asks is that you believe in him, that you make room for him. He will give you eternal life, a place in heaven. Make room for him this Christmas. As is par for the course, with 5 busy kids and 2 equally busy parents, life is crazy much of the time. It's tempting to close Jesus out, like those innkeepers so long ago, to not make room in the inn of our lives for Jesus. Other activities become priority, but may he always be first in our lives. That's the message of Christmas, I believe. It's not the presents. It's not the wrapping. It's not the traditions, though we like those, and there's nothing wrong with those. But are we making room for him? We say Jesus is the reason for the season, and we, you know, put up our major scenes. We do all of that, and sometimes that makes us feel good. But have we truly made room for Jesus in our Christmas? We need to, because he is all of those things that we listed. And most of all, he's our Savior. Yeah, so she really was just a girl. The thought is she was somewhere between 12 and 14 years old, giving birth to the Savior of the world. Things were different then than they are today. She was ready. And we know that she, when the angel came and told her that this was going to take place, that she said, let it be so. She made room for him in the end of her life again. What's our response? He just wants us to make room for him this Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you came to save the world. May we always make room for you, Lord, as you have made room in your life for us, Lord. We thank you. We give you praise, Lord. And we do celebrate you this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.